You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, welcoming you to our first show of 2020, and it is a doozy. We get to sit down with Mason Reeves, one of the stars of the first national tour of Disney's Frozen, and I got to tell you, he is an incredible guy, an incredible talent, and it's an incredible show. And let's dive in right now.
Mason Reeves, welcome to West of Broadway.
Of course, I'm happy to be here.
And I also am particularly excited to talk to you because I saw the show last night and you were incredible, as well as your entire cast. It was really, I mean, everyone looked like they were having a great time up there, but you in particular, when you and your counterpart Sven first make your first entrance, that's the first like audible gasp in the audience where everyone was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Such a cool moment. I went with my husband, and he didn't know anything about the show, didn't know what to expect, and he was like, what? It was just very, very cool. And you two play off each other so well. It was very, very, very cool.
Thank you.
I think it's also really cool that we've actually met in person. I was hiking with my dogs in Runyon Canyon, and I ran into you and some of your other cast members, like Austin and Evan, and you guys were walking with your dogs, just like just enjoying Runyon Canyon. How are you enjoying Los Angeles?
Oh, I am loving it. And also, what was your? I've been talking about your small black dog to people. I can't remember.
Oh, Thatcher.
Thatcher is an iconic dog, but I have been. I've been loving L.A., and it's good for me. I'm from Arizona, so I love having a car again. I love being able to drive. I love the sunsets. That's something that I really miss whenever I'm back eastern New York. And so I've been enjoying it a lot. I've been out to Catalina Island with a friend and at the Palos Verdes. And so I've been trying to go and do all sorts of things. I want to go see the observatory next and go up to the planetarium over there and do that sort of thing. But I've just been having the loveliest time in some warm weather. I went to school at the University of Michigan too, so this is my first winter in this is technically my senior year, so I'm this is my first winter in 3 years that I've had not
So as an Arizona boy, I'm sure you're responding well to all of this. And and how cool that this is your senior year and you've taken some time off to join the national tour of Frozen.
Absolutely.
Incredible. So what was it like? So I've done my research on you, and you're incredibly talented, so it's kind of a given. It's kind of like it makes complete sense.
But I just so kind of you.
Your family and your teachers and everyone just must be bursting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny story, actually, because so I ended up getting this from I had just gotten cast in as Ren McCormick in Footloose at the Muni. And
right.
So I had just gone to an open call there, and Telsey, the casting office, did casting for the Muni this year. And so they recorded my final call back for that show, and it got uploaded, and they were looking for Kristoff for 2 months. And I finally got an email in April. They were looking from February to April, and they're like, hey, could you send in tapes for this? Because one of their interns, her name's Lily Schneider, she's lovely, found my video and was like, could you send some tapes? And so I did, and they flew me out to New York a week and a half later, and then I auditioned for a full day from like 12 to 6 with rooms that kept getting bigger and bigger, and then danced at the end of the day. And they called me the next morning, and I know that Elsa and Anna had to do, you know, 16 to 18 callbacks each. And so I kind of had just this one crazy whirlwind day. And I was actually, I was staying with a friend and I was about to take a shower. So I was completely naked and I had a towel on, and I get the call from the casting agent. They're like, "Hey, you got the part." And I just freaked out and screamed and started running around, and I was just in a towel in my friend's apartment. And I called my mom, and she started screaming and crying. And I called my dad, and then I called the head of my department, was the third person I called. And this was the only time that I'd ever heard him cuss. He just like screamed. He's like, "No way." And so he just started freaking out, and he was super excited about it. And I mean, it was just a whole whirlwind. And then I got back to school because I missed the last 2 days of school for the callback. And so I went back afterwards during the final study preparing week and told some of my friends, and everybody was just like a mixture of joy and rolling around on the floor. And then also it was slowly set in the fact that I wasn't going to be there for senior year. So they were crying, and, you know, but overall just, I'm happy to be here, and I miss my friends, and I go back whenever I can to see them still for senior year.
Because the show opened here in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
And so have people from school and your family, they've gotten a chance to come out and see the show and celebrate the opening with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, my family came to opening, and then I've had some of the younger class, some people from the younger classes live in L.A., so a couple of them have come and seen the show. And a friend from San Francisco that's in my class came to see the show, and they just were beaming. And it's cool because Michigan has such a vast alumni network. And I still remember the first show that I saw with a person that went to Michigan after I had been accepted and was going there. And for them, they were like, you know, you're our first Michigan person that we've seen in something. And it's cool to be that person for people and to like, you know, just be a positive influence on the department and let people know that things are possible as long as you work hard and you're committed to who you are.
I think that that's one of my favorite things about the theater community is the family that is fostered in so many different ways. Like, and it just gets bigger and bigger because we all share such a common love of performing and sharing like the most intimate part of ourselves with people to make them happy. It's just incredible.
Absolutely.
And speaking of making me happy, Carolyn Innerbocker. Is that how I say it? Innerbocker?
Caroline Innerbickler.
Bickler. Oh my goodness. She was phenomenal. And the two of you together were just, folks, if you haven't seen Frozen yet in Los Angeles, it's here until the 2nd of February, which is Groundhog's Day. And then going on tour. Find it in your city. And it's slightly different from the Broadway show.
Absolutely.
They've added some new songs and some effects.
Yeah. So we've made a number of changes, and they don't like to say, you know, it's different, but they like to say it's an evolution of the Broadway production because they had some more time for us to work on things. So of course, just different casting is going to bring different things to the characters, and Caroline Innerbickler and me and the rest principals are all finding our own sort of specific, spontaneous, fun, joyful versions of these characters. But even more so than that, yeah, we've got a new duet called "I Can't Lose You" that Anna and Elsa sing together, which I think just brings together what the creatives say about that song is that it allows for more of their relationship to be shown as opposed to making act two between the two of them very plot driven. So they get to talk about, you know, their shared isolations and how they don't want to live without one another and how they can't, they wish that they could connect as opposed to just saying, you know, the song that used to be there is, you know, the big confrontation where Elsa strikes her and she screams, "I can't." And it's all about Anna saying, you know, "Don't shut me out again, but you froze Arendelle and this is what's happening." And then Elsa reacts in that way. And so now it gets to be more of, this is our relationship. The relationship is central. And then afterwards, then Anna's like, "You froze the kingdom." And that's when Elsa strikes her, which allows audiences, you know, to see that sisterhood, which is a theme that's so central to the musical and is so important and so powerful. And then, so we changed. We've added a different sort of ice bridge for a song called "What Do You Know About Love" that changes the staging up a little bit. And it's the storytelling is a little bit clearer for the two of us, and we're able to interact more because the bridge is smaller and we have some different sort of gags that happen there. And then they've also added a reprise of Christoph's Lullaby, which is the song that's new for the musical, that's not in the movie, that Christoph sings. And it used to just sort of be this song where he's discovering that he loves Anna and doesn't know what to do with it. And he then takes her, as if you know the show at all, he takes her back to the castle, or if you know the movie, he takes her to the castle and he leaves her there to go get her true love's kiss from Hans. And it used to be he would just leave her and say, all right, Anna, or not, he wouldn't say all right, Anna. He would say, let's go, Sven. Like, let's get out of here. We did what we had to do. That's the right thing to do. And would just walk off. And now they've added a reprise of Christoph's Lullaby, which is new for the tour, which is, you get to see, I think what's so beautiful about it is, he, you know, Christoph comes running back, and in the musical that's currently, what they changed and why they wanted to is now you get to see his emotional pain. That's that the transition of him saying, like, he's saying all the right things in the song, but the emotional undertone in the music is saying, I want to go back and I love her. And he's saying, you know what, this is, I have to do this. I have to leave her behind. And, but the music in his heart is clearly pulling him in the other direction. So then when he comes back, it's like, oh, we know why he's doing this. And this is what he was feeling all along. And why was he saying these other things? But we're happy that he's turned around now. And so it's really cool to get to have been a part of those changes.
Absolutely. And I think it really adds to the storyline. And it, one of the really amazing takeaways from the show for me was when I was walking out of the theater and just like catching eyes with people, like grown adults that were just, maybe they're season ticket holders, maybe they don't have any kids in their lives, but it's like two adults or a couple people, and they were smiling and they look at me and they were like, I didn't think I was going to like the show as much. I thought when I heard Disney, I thought kids show, and it was anything but that. And everybody walked away just with the weight of just being thoroughly entertained with a good story and a good show and incredible performers. It was really, really incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, we're happy to be doing that. That's what we always say is it's definitely Frozen, as you know, from the movie, but it's a theatrical version of Frozen, which means that it comes with all the things that theater holds, which is the complexity of human life and exploring relationships and love and how music can sort of bring all of those things out in a way that a movie can do with different things, with zoom-ins and stuff like that. But we have words and music and dance and all these extra things that can bring it to life. And that's what I've been enjoying so much about it, too, is how much people of all ages are able to relate to it and how powerful it is being for, you know, I see little girls crying. I see moms crying. I see husbands crying. I see, you know, just like everyone that comes is swept up in the magic of what's happening here. And we're all just so, you know, I'm surprised sometimes and taken back. And I'm just so grateful to get to be a part of something that makes people feel so much.
As a senior in high school, that's on your first like big professional gig, like working with Disney, what is the stage door like with like all the kids? I can only imagine with like the kids all dressed up and stuff like that. It must be a trip.
Oh yeah, yeah. A senior in college. You said high school. Sorry.
College.
I was like, oh my gosh, if I was 18, I couldn't even imagine. But it's a trip. It's the first time, you know, and so. The company management, everybody likes to joke that we were just in the Rose Bowl parade, right? And they had me and a couple of the other principals ride in a sled, and they asked us all if we would do it. And when they came and asked me, they were like, Mason, would you like to ride in the sled? And I was like, yes, immediately. And they're like, okay, that's good. We all put a bet in, and we said that Mason is very clearly going to be the person to say yes to these things, because everything's just exciting to me right now. And maybe I'll become jaded later, but
it's maybe.
But I just love doing this, and it means the world to me to see, you know, the kids that are you know, too shy to look or that I can give high fives to and that are so excited, and the super fans and stuff that just come and have fallen in love not only with Frozen or the superfans that are Frozen superfans that have come and fallen in love with this specific production and our specific iterations of the characters and what the musical has to bring even more so than the movie has been just so lovely for me. And for me, I'm a person of color. I'm mixed. My mom's white and my dad is black. And so it means even more to me when, you know, even if specifically last night, a woman of color and just said, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't get to see people like you playing these roles. And it just means the world to me to see you doing this and doing it in the way that only you can as you. And it just means so much to me. And that's exactly why I do it every day too, is I see those little kids of color and I think, oh my gosh, if I had gotten to see somebody like me just being myself on a stage, just a little backstory, this is maybe too much, but I used to get bullied when I was younger because I was raised in a predominantly white area and I was the only black kid around usually. And I would get bullied by a lot of the white kids because they started seeing, you know, basketball players and rappers and things like that. And they expected me to be those things to fit that stereotype. And that's not something that I am or that I had any connection to, because I'm just a kid from Arizona. Like, and I understand that those are parts of certain Black people's experiences. And what I love is getting to play this character, because me as a person, my essence and my performance capability fits Christoph as a person who, you know, is white in the representations in the film and stuff like that. But
sure,
there's no reason that he has to be. And I love that, you know, I get to say being Black means that I have Black skin, of course, and that there are, of course, different systemic situations and issues that come along with being Black. But that's where you have to draw the line. And it doesn't mean that I have to behave a certain way, or that I'm quick to anger, or any sort of stereotype that people have about Black people. Is I get to just be myself, like we all are as people, and get to start breaking down those barriers and show the intersectionality of humanity. It's what I'm just really loving, and getting to see how audiences react to that is so rewarding.
And that is, I thank you so much for that, because that you put that so beautifully, and it makes so much sense. And I so appreciated the way the show was cast. Was
yes, just,
it was like, it was almost, it's irrelevant. It's about the best person for that role, the best voice, the best presence, the best soul. Not,
absolutely,
do they look like this cartoon character?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's brilliant and good for you. And I hope that this continues to, it's all about visibility. And now we're just changing the narrative. So I applaud you. And I think that that's great. And how amazing to be a part of that.
Exactly.
My last question for you, because I know that you have a show tonight.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with, I was sitting in the theater, there was sniffling and coughing and just so many things. How are you dealing and taking care of yourself this flu season, which seems to be out of control?
That is a great question. Well, we got flu shots as a company. They arranged for us in New York,
right,
which is the funniest day, is just seeing all of us in line. And they brought the doctor to the rehearsal space, so we all got shots in front of each other, and that was funny. But other than that, I exercise. Usually I try to do 5 days a week, and on top of the show, just so that I can keep, you know, that immune system active and going. And I burn a lot of calories in the show, but on top of that, I like to keep that sort of thing. So I make sure that I get a lot of sleep, and then I make sure that I get up on a consistent time and go and do something active. Because if I stay in bed, usually I have allergies this time of season and I take medication for it, but it'll start building into something. So as long as I get up and start moving, I can usually get some blood flowing and kick it out of my system. But yeah, so definitely lots of sleep, vitamin C, zinc tablets, and just doing everything that I can to stay hydrated. Those are all the goals.
Yeah,
and I sweat so much in the show, so it's also...
sweat it off. Well, I mean, it's like... Yeah, doing the show, and I mean, it gets pretty aerobic. I mean, you can dance, like, and there's some times when you get, and it's excellent, but you're wearing a full-on winter suit with leather pants.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like that's a couple extra pounds there you're hauling around. It's just incredible. I'm just so proud of you, and I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful I had a chance to talk with you and connect again.
Yes.
And everyone, like I said, Frozen the Musical is playing at the Pantages Theater now till February 2nd, and tickets are available at HollywoodPantages.com. If you want to keep up with Mason, you can find him at MasonBReeves.com and RansonMeeves at Instagram, and I'll be sure to post that. But Mason, thank you so much. I hope you and the rest of the cast have an awesome show tonight and an incredible rest of your tour. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being so sweet. Thanks for talking.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
And that brings us to the end of a very exciting and very informative episode of West of Broadway. Thank you so much, Mason, for taking the time to speak with us. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing all the amazing things ahead in your bright and shining career. Also, thank you to Disney and the folks at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. We really appreciate your assistance in helping connecting us with Mason. And if you are listening to this, I want you to open up your phones, go on to Instagram, and follow Frozen Broadway and Hollywood Pantages Theater. They both post incredible content, and it's a great way to keep up with the cast of Frozen and see all the incredible productions that are in store at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Well, that's all for now. I'm Will Armstrong. You can follow me at Will Armstrong PR on Instagram or anything on social media, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. And be sure to check out westofbroadwaypodcast.com for any past episodes that are really fun with me and Lara Scott. As always, I want to thank you all so much for listening, and if you're ever looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.